نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. Yesterday we discussed the quality of tawakkul, and that was placing our reliance and our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tonight inshallah we will discuss the next quality, and inshallah we maybe will touch on that quality of tawakkul as well, because this particular sifat and quality is closely linked to that one. For those brothers who may not have been here previously, over the past few nights we have been discussing qualities related to the heart, based on the fact that the month of Ramadan is the ideal opportunity for us to work on our batin. There are two terms that are usually mentioned by the ulama. One is the zahir and one is the batin. One is the external and one is the internal. The external change also is required, that the person externally tries to change himself so that he conforms to the command of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in terms of his dressing, the pants is above the ankles, the person is satr is covered, etc. And of course, if the person could try harder to, you know, keep the beard, etc., and, you know, wear some kind of Islamic identity. But it doesn't stop there, because that is actually very easy to do. For a person now to, you know, put on the kurta, topi, or whatever it may be, even if it's just the topi, then it's very easy. The person can go to the nearest Islamic, you know, bookstore or Islamic shop or whatever it is, and purchase the hat and put it on. But to work on the batin, the internal, sometimes takes years and years of effort. So nevertheless, we'll speak about it. Inshallah, Allah Ta'ala make it such that we can work in that direction. And every year we should try and improve on our batin, on the internal. And one of the qualities that's extremely critical is this quality of taqwa. This taqwa is a quality of the heart. A person can claim to be very muttaqi, says, I got a lot of taqwa. The one who makes that claim, that's a sign that he doesn't even have taqwa. Because the person who's really got taqwa, then one of the things that, you know, comes with taqwa is humility. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Majeed, فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. Don't make a claim of piety, because Allah is the one who knows who really has taqwa and who doesn't have taqwa. So we know that this month of Ramadan, one of the purposes and objectives of the month of Ramadan is to attain this quality, to attain this wealth. And I've used the word for a reason, wealth. Today our understanding of wealth is gold and silver and investments. And that is the wealth of this world. But there is another wealth also. And that is a wealth which will benefit us not only in this world, but it will benefit us in the qabr and the akhirah. That is also a wealth which we must also make dua that Allah blesses us with that wealth. In fact, that wealth is sometimes more valuable than the wealth of this world. That is why it is mentioned with regards to Allama Muhaddith Dehlawi rahmatullahi, that he used to address the Mughal kings of the time, and he says, O kings, O rulers, when you will die, you will leave behind your kingdom. But when Shah Waliullah dies, then he will take with him his gold and his diamonds. And what was he referring to? His diamonds of the mahabbat, the ma'rifat, and all those qualities of the heart that will go with him in the grave. And it will be of benefit for him in the grave as well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned in many, many verses of the Quran in Majeed. Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu taqullah. In fact, as Allah opens up the Quran, Allah ta'ala says, Arif lam mim dhalikal kitabu la rayba fi hudal lil muttaqeen. That this Quran will be a means of hidayat taqwa walo ke liye, for the people of taqwa. And so if we just to get an understanding, what is this taqwa? When we say taqwa, if we look at the Arabic word taqwa, then it comes from wiqaya, which means to protect or to shield someone, or to shield a person. And the ulama ikram explain that to place a barrier between yourself and the punishment of Allah by obeying him and avoiding any kind of sin. Some ulama ikram give the definition, kaffun nafsi anil hawa, that the person is able to save his nafs the ego from breaking any command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once Umar radiallahu anhu asked Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu, was a very important and very great sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who had been blessed with great knowledge, and he said, what is taqwa? He asked him, what is taqwa? So Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu, he replied, he said that, have you ever walked, you know, in a garden that was filled with thorns, you know, thorn bushes? So Umar radiallahu anhu said, yes, I did. He said, can I ask you, what did you do when you walked through this garden? So he said that, you know, I gathered my clothes and I walked very carefully because I didn't want these thorns to, you know, pierce my body. So he says that, and he replied to him that that is taqwa. That a believer traverses the path of life very, very carefully, avoiding, if we may say, the thorns of sin. These thorns of sin that are there in our life and in the path of life, the believer traverses this path cautiously in such a way that he does not allow any of these sins to, these sins rather, to, you know, be an obstacle in his life or to, you know, get into his life. And the reality is that if we can eliminate sins from our lives, respected elders and brothers, and our mothers and sisters who are listening, then Allah Ta'ala will give the person tranquility. Allama Jalaluddin Umi Rahmatullahi, which I think we did mention one of the nights, said a person had 100 thorns that were stuck in his body. 100 thorns. And so now obviously, having 100 thorns stuck in the body is going to cause a lot of discomfort. So this person began removing one thorn at a time, until eventually there was just one thorn left. So now the person said, you know, this thorn has got sentimental value. You know, at least it'll remind me of the days when I, you know, I walked and I fell in this thorny bush. So I'm attached to this one thorn. So obviously we're dramatizing it, but to make us realize, I'm attached to this one thorn, and I'm finding it very hard to give up and remove this one thorn. So Allama Jalaluddin Rahmatullahi poses the question. He says that this foolish one, will he ever experience tranquility until and unless he doesn't remove that last thorn? He's going to have to remove that last thorn. He's going to have to, you know, make some himmat and courage and remove that thorn. But once he removes that thorn, now he will feel that tranquility. In the same way, sometimes we think that, you know, in this life of sin, you know, we're getting enjoyment and this must be it. And another example that comes to mind of that worm. Again, Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullahi's example, which we heard from Mawlana Sahib Rahmatullahi. In fact, this example I also heard from Shah Hakim Akhtar Sahib. So he says that this thorn, or this worm rather, it was passing its life on leaves that were rotting. And it was, you know, passing its days this way. And one day a fellow worm said to him that, what are you wasting your time with rotting leaves? Haven't you tasted the juicy grape? So now this worm became interested that, what is this juicy grape? He said, if you taste that juicy grape, just one bite, and you'll be in another world. So he said, can you show me, how do I get to this juicy grape? He said, no, you go to a certain place here, there's a vineyard, you climb up there and you'll find it. So now this worm, you know, slowly but surely undertook this lengthy journey until it reached the vineyard, and then it started climbing up the first grapevine and it reached the first set of leaves. When he took a bite on this leaf, this foolish worm thought that the leaf was the juicy grape. And it carried on passing its days on this leaf until it made its janaza there on that leaf and died there. So Allama Jalaluddin Umi Rahmatullahi says, if only this worm made a little more sacrifice, a little more effort, and went slightly higher and took one bite of that juicy grape, it would have forgotten that leaf and it would have thought to itself, why did I even waste my time on the rotting leaves? In the same way, sometimes we make some effort and we think, you know, this must be it. This must be, I'm reading my salah too, and I'm also getting involved in the sin, but it's fine, I think everything is fine this way, you know. I don't want to give up this year. I'm happy the way I am. But if only we make a little more sacrifice, make a little more effort, go a little further. And then if Allah Ta'ala gives the person that sweetness, that enjoyment, today in the masjid where we are, we had a program after the Dhuhr Salah. So I mentioned this example to the brothers that Hazrat Mu'ayyidus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, you know, he worked on the community and he was one of the first to have started a girls' madrasa at a time when nobody was, you know, having these sort of madrasas. And in fact, when Maulana started it, there was a lot of opposition at the time that what is this, having madrasas for girls, you know, the place of the girls in the home, they must stay within the confines of their home. So Maulana was a very realistic person. One is the ideal situation and one is the real situation. In an ideal world, this could be happening, but we have to also realize what's happening in the real world. So Maulana understood, because what had happened, there was a particular girl who was going to a particular school who was starting to question, you know, the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Maulana realized that it's a need of the hour, that we have to protect the iman of the woman of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So nevertheless, Maulana now started this madrasa, and then he used to have programs for the ladies, and Maulana had specific facilities for the ladies, that when he used to have programs, the ladies used to attend these programs, obviously in a separate venue, you know, but there was great benefit for them. But nevertheless, there was one particular girl who was addicted to music. In those days, they used to have these music cassettes, you know. Those who know what I'm talking about, you're a bit older then. So, hey, these cassettes they used to have, and she had an entire collection of these music cassettes. And after coming into the company of Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullah Ali, she got and she was inspired, and she then gave up this and she destroyed those cassettes. And she even mentioned to Maulana that, you know, when I was destroying those cassettes, I was crying because it was painful, you know, I was attached to listening to that. But she said that after I destroyed it, there was such a peace that came in my heart, I cannot even explain it in words. And then she wrote a letter to Hazrat Maulana Yunus Sahib Rahmatullah, and she said that, you know, Maulana, alhamdulillah, through your guidance and advices, alhamdulillah, I now wake up for tahajjud salah. And she said that not only do I wake up for tahajjud, but she says I wait for the entire day, whole day I wait, just for the time of tahajjud. Because she says that when I put my head down in sajda, I experience such ecstasy and such enjoyment that I wait the entire day for that golden moment before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So look, this is now an example of that juicy grape. That when the person made some sacrifice and effort, it was not easy. The person had to now destroy that entire collection and go through that pain. But that step was taken. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah looks at, in one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the person who takes one step towards Allah, Allah takes 10 steps to that person. That individual who walks towards Allah, Allah comes running to that person. So Allah looked at the effort of this girl, and then Allah Ta'ala, so to say, took a leap towards her and granted her such, you know, blessings. May Allah Ta'ala grant us also such wonderful kayfiyat and feelings. So with regards to this particular taqwa, it is extremely important, as we heard in the verses and in the tafsir, that Allah, the most honorable in the sight of Allah, is the one who has the highest degree of taqwa. So in order for us to be accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need this taqwa. In fact, there is another verse of the Quran and Majeed. Allah says, وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. That you should take provisions. And the best of provisions is this provision of taqwa, according to one tafsir. That in order for us to traverse in this worldly life, remember, we are all on a safar, we are all on a journey. Everyone is on a journey. Whilst we were studying, we went to the airport. We were in Johannesburg at the time, and Hazrat Mu'ayyidus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was going to Karachi. So it was our, you know, break time in the madrasa, so we took a drive to the airport. And at the airport now we met Maulana, and we just wanted to spend some time in his company. So in the airport, Maulana then gave us some advice. He said, take lesson from the airport. He said, if you look at this airport, we have got arrivals and we've got departures. We've got arrivals and we've got departures. And if you look at the airport, you'll find that as you go into the boarding gates, then you'll find that there are places for people to wait. There's lounges or there may be just chairs. And sometimes the chairs are full. So some people are standing and waiting. Some people are sitting on the floor. And then some people have got all these cards and all of those things. They gone in the first class lounges. And so now they're sitting in those lounges, and they have access to the food and what have you, and you know, all the amenities there and the luxuries there. So Brahma said, if you look at all those people, whether the person is in that first class lounge, or whether the person is sitting on the bench, or whether the person is standing, everyone is looking at the boarding tag. That, you know, I mustn't miss the flight. I have to make sure that I get into the, you know, as soon as the gates open, I must be able to go into the plane. And so Hazrat said, in the same way, you'll find in this world that some people, Allah has given them, they're passing their life in this world in a lot more luxury. And somebody else has got a more simpler life. And someone is going through a little bit of, you know, poverty or hardship. But everyone has got their gaze, they should be having their gaze on the departure time. That I have to leave this world one day. Someday I have to leave this world. I cannot lose sight of the fact that ek din marna hai, I'm going to have to die. So there are always arrivals and departures in this world. There's somebody born. Even if we look at our families, we'll find this family, that family. Somebody is born here, somebody is born there, someone's born there. And you'll find there's people departing also. This person passed away, that person passed away. You know, these people met up in an accident and they passed away. So there are people that are departing and there are people that are arriving. But the strange thing is that we are all in this, so to say, this airport of this world. We are all musafir. None of us know when's the departure time. So we have to be ever ready. That's how it has to be. We have to be ever ready. And then if very important, as you say, when you're going through the airport, now I'm hearing from my side, the person makes sure that he's got his boarding pass. He must have his boarding pass, he must have his documents, whether it's the ID, whether it's the passport. So our provisions, we have to make sure amongst the provisions that we have is this provision of taqwa. That this taqwa must always be with us. Because if we got this taqwa, then inshallah we'll be able to go through with ease. If the person goes there and they say, where's your boarding pass? I say, I misplaced it. Now if you misplaced your boarding pass, then I say, well, go back, we can't allow you to go. Where's your... At one time, they were very strict on that, abridged, unabridged birth certificate. I still remember once we were at the airport and somebody didn't have the right thing. And the children, they didn't allow the children to go on their flight. Fortunately, there was some family, they had to keep them behind. It was a very painful. They were leaving for Umrah and the children were supposed to go with the parents and the children were kept behind and it was an emotional situation. And everyone felt very sorry for them, but that was they had to go by the rule. It must not be that we want to go into Jannah and Allah Ta'ala says, or the angel says that, but you had no taqwa in this world. You are short here. That your taqwa is not in order. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. And the person says, you have to go and you'll have to enter Jannah via Jahannam. May Allah protect us. So taqwa is something that it is a treasure that we have to keep with us. And this taqwa must be with us in public and private. Now, taqwa, to understand it, is that consciousness that Allah is watching us. Allah is with us all the time. And whilst we're fasting, Allah is teaching us that you have this ability. Taqwa is for everyone. You too can have taqwa. What is keeping us away from food? Food which is normally perfectly halal and drink which is perfectly halal. Out of the month of Ramadan, if the person wanted to eat something, there's nothing wrong with it. But in the month of Ramadan, it's just the command of Allah. Allah's command is stay away now from food. That food which is normally halal for you. But you have to stay away from it. It is only the command of Allah and the fact that we know that Allah is watching us. And that stops us from eating that food and drinking that, drink, whatever it may be. That's exactly what is required after the month of Ramadan. That ittaqillaha haythuma kunt. In one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, fear Allah wherever you are. Adopt this quality of taqwa wherever you are. There's a beautiful story, and I did say that I want to tie it up with the quality of tawakkul. It is mentioned in Fazail-e Hajj, Hazrat Sheikh Zakariya Rahmatullah Ali mentioned this incident, that there was a person, a young individual who went for Hajj, and he saved up, and he just barely had sufficient to make it for Hajj. And in those days when you would go for Hajj, it would be by ship, you had to stay, the travel was very different in those days. So by the time you reach there, there's still sometimes a whole month before Hajj commences. So he went, and as he was getting closer to the days of Hajj, all his provisions got finished. Now the person had absolutely nothing. Now he was in such a pitiable condition, he didn't know what to do. One particular day, as he was entering the haram, he found that there was a necklace that was lying on the floor. So when he saw this necklace, he picked up this necklace and he started making an announcement. Because we know that if you find a lost item, then you have to give it to it back to its rightful owner. So he kept on making an announcement that who lost a necklace, who not, and it happened first day, second day, third day, for a number of days. Eventually, no one came forth. So he thought to himself that this most probably is some sustenance that Allah is sending to me because I don't have anything. I'm, you know, just barely making it some here and there, whatever I can find, some food. I am hungry too. Perhaps this is some risk and sustenance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now he made a firm resolution that he was going to now, you know, take ownership of it, sell it, and whatever money he gets from there, he'll carry on, make it through his hajj. And it so happened that the owner of that necklace, he was searching for his necklace somewhere else, and somebody came from this side, said, no, I heard somebody calling, go that side. And eventually he landed up at this person's, you know, place of accommodation. So he knocked on the door and he said to him that, listen, I've been informed that you have found a necklace. I lost a necklace. So this thought crossed his mind that, you know, I don't have to tell him because look, at the end of the day, I could just make up some story and I'm in a dire situation. But then he thought to himself that, you know, Allah is watching. Allah is aware. And I'm going to place my trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he asked this person to give a description and he gave the exact description and he gave the necklace to him. This person wanted to pay him, said, please, you know, this is so precious to me. I need to give you something in return. Let me pay you for it. He thought to himself that I did this action for Allah. I did it for Allah and he did it for him alone. So he refused to accept any payment and he continued this way. Nevertheless, Sayyid Shaykh Zakaria Ahmadullahi mentions that this person somehow managed to complete his hajj. Whilst returning on the journey of hajj on the ship, it so happened that the ship went through some stormy waters until eventually it was damaged and the ship started taking in water and it began to sink. And most of the people drowned on that ship and somehow or the other he managed to hold on to some raw piece of wood and whatever. And he landed up on an island, he was unconscious. When he regained consciousness, he found himself in some island that he didn't even know. And the people of the island, they tended to him and they gave him some place to stay in the masjid. So he told the people that, listen, I don't want to stay here in the masjid without, you know, being of some benefit to you all. So alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed me with the Quran and with knowledge. I will teach your children Quran and in lieu of that, you could give me some food to eat and so on. The people of the community became so happy with him, you know, with his sincerity and with his kindness and so on. They said, listen, we'd like you to be the imam of the masjid. So he accepted and, you know, he started, you know, performing his duties, making imamate in the masjid. And after a period of time, they came to him and said, look, you know, we're so happy with you. We'd like you to settle down in this community. In order to settle down, we want you to get married. We have a potential girl for you. So eventually, back and forth, put the proposal, accepted. The marriage was performed. When he entered now to, you know, meet his bride, he entered the room, and as he entered the room, he caught sight of a necklace that was around her neck. And he was dumbfounded. So she realized that something is not right. So she asked him that, you seem mesmerized at this necklace. He said, tell me about this necklace. I need to know. She said that this necklace belonged to my father. This necklace belonged to my father. And my father passed away. But my father used to make one dua. He used to tell us a story that this necklace, he had this necklace when he went for hajj. And he lost this necklace. And there was a person who had a high degree of taqwa. This person had taqwa. And he returned this necklace to me without taking anything in return. She said that my father used to make dua. That Allah make it such that my daughter gets married to a man who has that degree of taqwa. This person became emotional. He said that, you know, I am that very individual. Subhanallah. So as I said, Shaykh Zakaria Ahmadullah Ali mentions that this is in lieu. Allah has promised, وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. that that person who adopts taqwa, Allah makes a way out for that individual. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. And Allah will provide for that person from sources unknown to him. And then Allah says further, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. That whoever will place their trust on Allah, Allah will be sufficient for that individual. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with this quality of taqwa. May Allah bless us with the quality of tawakkul. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَنَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. This ayat durud sharif.
لا إله إلا الله 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 لا إله إلا الله
محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نفس شيطان نے مل کر رہائی کیا ہے مجھ کو تباہ نفس و شیطان دونوں نے مل کر رہائی کیا ہے مجھ کو تباہ اے میرے مولا میری مدد کر چاہتا ہوں میں تیری پناہ مجھ سا خلق میں کوئی نہیں گو بد کردار نہ مسیحا تو بھی مگر غفار ہے یا رب بخش دے میرے سارے گناہ اب تو رہے بس داد میں آخر ورد زبائے میرے الہ لا الہ الا اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ لا إله إلا الله 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 لا إله إلا الله
لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. الله جل جلاله وتعالى شأنه. الله 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 لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله. اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث. يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث. يا أحد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. اللهم لك الحمد كما أنت أهله، وصلي وسلم على محمد كما أنت أهله، وافعل بنا كما أنت أهله، فإنك أهل التقوى وأهل المغفرة. اللهم يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. أو كريم الله، رحيم الله، most forgiving الله، most loving الله. Oh Allah, we are extremely sinful servants of yours, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, you are our creator, you are our malik, our khaliq, our raziq, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, you have brought us from non-existence into existence, Ya Allah. You cause our hearts to beat, Ya Allah. The blood to flow within our bodies, Ya Allah. You have blessed us with the eyes with which we see, the ears with which we hear, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, the tongues with which we speak, Ya Allah. The limbs with which we walk, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, bounties upon bounties, we cannot even count a single bounty of yours, Ya Allah. Yet, Ya Allah, we have used these bounties on so many occasions, Ya Allah, to violate your very commands, Ya Allah. But, oh Allah, you have blessed us and given us life in this month of Ramadan, Ya Allah. This month is a month of forgiveness, Ya Allah. This month is a month of change, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we are not justifying any sin that we may have committed, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we know that we were wrong, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, therefore tonight, Ya Allah, we raise our begging bowls before you. You can see the regret and remorse in our hearts, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you can see the regret and remorse in our hearts. What is gone, Ya Allah. Our lives that have gone and we have wasted it, Ya Allah, it is gone, Ya Allah. But for a believer, it is never too late, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, on this 25th night of Ramadan, Ya Allah, we raise our begging bowls before you and beseech you, Ya Allah. Forgive each and every one of us, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, forgive the sins of our eyes, Ya Allah. Forgive the sins of our ears, Ya Allah. Forgive the sins of our tongues, Ya Allah. Forgive the sins of our hands and feet, Ya Allah. Forgive those sins which we committed knowingly or unknowingly in the light of day or darkness of night, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, purify our hearts, Ya Allah. Hame musaffa, mujalla, muzakka, dil ata farma. Give us clean, purified hearts, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, incline our hearts towards your obedience, Ya Allah. Create within our hearts an aversion and a hatred for sins, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, give us the realization, Ya Allah, that a life of sin will bring nothing but restlessness and anxiety, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, give us the realization that it is in your obedience that we will find true tranquility, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, bless us with that sakina, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, make us yours and become ours, Ya Allah.
Allah, make us yours and become ours, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we have a mountain of sins, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, our sins, Ya Allah, probably are more than the grains of sand on earth, Ya Allah. But oh Allah, your forgiveness is much, much more, Ya Allah. Just one drop from your ocean of forgiveness is sufficient to wipe away the sins of the entire mankind, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we have in our midst, Ya Allah, the elderly, Ya Allah. We have little children in our midst, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we have the huffaz and the ulama in our midst, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, with the barakat of all these individuals, forgive each and every one of us, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, forgive our parents, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, forgive our children, Ya Allah. Forgive our brothers and sisters, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, forgive our family members, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, forgive the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, no one can question you why you forgave those sinners who raised their begging bowls before you, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, bless us, Ya Allah, with the best of dunya and akhirah, Ya Allah. Give us barakat, Ya Allah, in our health, Ya Allah. Barakat in our wealth, Ya Allah. Barakat in our homes, Ya Allah. Barakat in our businesses, Ya Allah. Allah, barakat in every single bounty that you have granted us, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, bless us, Ya Allah, with your ma'rifah, Ya Allah, with your recognition, Ya Allah. Bless us with your love, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, why should we not love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he loved us so dearly, Ya Allah? Ya Allah, we have learnt in the hadith that on the day of Qiyamah, when every single person will be worried about nothing but himself, when a mother will abandon her child, Ya Allah, when the parents will run away from their children, Ya Allah, brothers will run away from each other, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, every single Nabi will be approached and he will be saying, Ya Rabbi, Nafsi, Nafsi. But oh Allah, on that day, our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be saying, Ya Rabbi, Ummati, Ummati, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, he was rahmatul lil alameen, Ya Allah. He was a mercy for mankind, Ya Allah. That Nabi who was, Ya Allah, the leader of all the Anbiya, Sayyidul Anbiya. But oh Allah, he lived such a simple life, Ya Allah. He made such sacrifices for our sake, Ya Allah. In Makkatul Mukarramah, Ya Allah, thorns were placed in his pathway, Ya Allah. On one occasion, my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed salah in the Haram Sharif, and the filthy intestines of a camel were placed on his Mubarak back, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha, she ran and she tried to remove it, and then she cried and said, oh my father, why are they doing this to you, Ya Allah? Oh Allah, my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the people of Makkah rejected him, Ya Allah, he walked in the hot desert sand, Ya Allah, for kilometers to Taif, Ya Allah, with the hope that the people of Taif will accept Iman and Islam, Ya Allah. And instead of accepting him, Ya Allah, they chased him like a dog, Ya Allah. They hurled stones on him, Ya Allah. He began to bleed so profusely, Ya Allah, that Ya Allah, his shoes became, Ya Allah, stuck to his feet, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, but yet Ya Allah, when he was asked, should we cause these mountains to crush the inhabitants of Taif, Ya Allah? He said, no, perhaps Ya Allah, their progeny will accept Iman and Islam, Ya Allah. It was rahmatul lil alameen, Ya Allah. In the battle of Uhud, Ya Allah, oh Allah, the rings of his helmet pierced his Mubarak jaw, Ya Allah. He began to bleed, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, despite that, he said, Allahumma ghfir li qawmi fa innahum ya'lamun, fa innahum la ya'lamun. Oh Allah, forgive my people, they don't know who I am, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, Ya Allah, during Ya Allah, the battle of Khandaq, Ya Allah, my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had two stones tied to his Mubarak belly, Ya Allah. These were the sacrifices that my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made for us, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, fill our hearts with the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Make us ashiks of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Make us ashiks of Medina Sharif, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, make us proud to be followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At present, Ya Allah, we are ashamed, Ya Allah, to implement the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our lives, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we have to leave this world one day, Ya Allah. When the time of death comes, Ya Allah, take us to Medina Sharif, Ya Allah. At the Rawdah Mubarak of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But as salatu was salamu alayka, Ya Rasulullah. Cause our souls to depart, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we are not asking you because we are very pious, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we are asking you on the contrary, Ya Allah, because we are the most sinful of sinners, Ya Allah. And we have hope, Ya Allah, that if we are buried in Jannatul Baqi, Ya Allah, in close proximity to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Allah, there is hope for our forgiveness, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, if it is not Muqaddar there, wherever it may be, Ya Allah, give us a death of barakat. Do not let the angel of death find us in any sin, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, do not let the angel of death find us in any sin, Ya Allah. All our family, Ya Allah, and friends, Ya Allah, and teachers who have passed away, Ya Allah. Many have lost their near and dear ones, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, there are so many, Ya Allah, who are close to us, Ya Allah, who have passed away, Ya Allah. There were many of those who passed away, Ya Allah, whose favors upon us we can never pay back, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, tonight we beseech you, Ya Allah, fill the graves with noor, Ya Allah. Allahumma ij'al quburahum rawdatan min riyadil jinan, Ya Allah. Our teachers, Ya Allah, our apas, Ya Allah, because of whom, Ya Allah, we are where we are today, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, reward them the best of rewards, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, make us a means of benefit for others as well, Ya Allah. Bless us with the noble akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, have mercy upon the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, in Gaza, Ya Allah, whilst we, Ya Allah, are able to raise our begging bowls, Ya Allah, and sit in the masjid, Ya Allah, on this carpet, Ya Allah, our Muslim brothers and sisters in Gaza, Ya Allah, are performing salah amidst rubble, Ya Allah. The masajid have been bombed to the ground, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, they are living in tents, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, some of them do not even have proper food, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, they are the ummatis of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, have mercy upon them, Ya Allah. And wherever the Muslims are suffering, Ya Allah, have mercy upon them, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, do not look at our sins, Ya Allah. Look at those precious tears of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the sake of his ummah, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, have mercy upon the ummah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Unite the hearts of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Restore the dignity of the ummah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, in this country, protect our masajid, our madaris, our darul ulums, Ya Allah, all the works of deen, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, accept us for the khidmat of your Mubarak deen, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, you are well aware of all the good desires and aspirations of each and every individual who has raised his or her hand before you. Fulfill all the good desires and aspirations. Whatever challenge, difficulty, sickness they are going through, you know very well, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, there are so many, Ya Allah, who have, Ya Allah, requested duas, Ya Allah. There are people that are extremely sick, Ya Allah. Some with cancer, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we were informed yesterday of one particular person who has blood cancer, Ya Allah. And there are so many individuals like that, Ya Allah, who are going through difficulties. Some are in hospital, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, Ya Allah, dawa and is in your hands, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, you, Ya Allah, you grant, Ya Allah. Shifa is in your hands, Ya Allah. You grant shifa to all of them, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant shifa to all those who are sick and ailing, Ya Allah. Those who will be undergoing operations, Ya Allah, make the operations a complete success, Ya Allah. Those who are going through financial difficulties, you provide for them, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, those who are looking for marriage partners, bless them with pious, compatible marriage partners, Ya Allah. Those who are married, Ya Allah, make their marriages jannat on earth, Ya Allah. Those who have children, Ya Allah, make their children the coolness of their eyes, Ya Allah. We are living in times of fitna, Ya Allah. Protect our children from the fitna of the time, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, protect our progeny till the day of Qiyamah, Ya Allah. Let every single one from our progeny be mu'mineen, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, do not deprive a single member of our progeny of Iman, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, oh Allah, we have raised our begging bowls before you, Ya Allah. Do not turn your glance of rahmat away from us, Ya Allah. Agarche pur khata hai, agarche pur khata hai, par kaha jaye tera banda, tere dar par tera banda ba ummeed e karam aaya. Oh Allah, if a dog, Ya Allah, is chased from one butcher, that dog can still go to another butcher. If a beggar is chased from one home, that beggar can still go to another home. But oh Allah, if you turn your glance of rahmat away from sinners like us, Ya Allah, there is no other door for us besides your door, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, forgive every single individual in this gathering, Ya Allah. And those who are raising their hands at home too and listening, Ya Allah. Forgive each and every one, Ya Allah. Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anna. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم إنا نسألك من كل خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله.